is really a wonderful thing. You know, oftentimes, I think I'm pretty observant, but sometimes things get past me. I have no technical media today. And Hansel New, who I know from Kansas City, because he comes over to Salina Church and speaks, I didn't think that my face would be up there and everybody would be seeing it all the time. So I do have a Fitbit, and it says my heart rate is 86. So I'm pretty comfortable with that. I was afraid I was going to be up in the zone territory. One of the things I did observe, though, throughout this feast, I know David Jones, Mr. Jones, a little bit, and he's been sharing different things with us. And one of the things I've observed from him, that he has these glasses, he has these glasses that he carries around his neck. And then when he puts them on his face, he transforms himself, not just a cowboy, not just a minister, but professor. Professor Jones. I don't know if any of the rest of you have noticed that or not, but I did observe that. I just became a pastor about 3 years ago. I used to work at an aircraft company that made and built general aviation aircraft, jets, turboprops. They carried about 6 to 10 passengers. I worked in the flight completion center before I retired, and they delivered airplanes to customers. And we had a customer that came from, that actually sold a plane from Brazil. They sent two pilots to pick up this airplane, and they were to fly it from Wichita, Kansas to Brazil. However, 2 days later, I saw this airplane sitting in the Caribbean Sea with two pilots and a life raft next to it. A brand new airplane that cost about $3.5 million was sitting, ended up on the bottom of the Caribbean Sea. The pilots were only 17 miles from Aruba, so they were safely rescued. But the obvious question was, what happened? What happened? Well, after an investigation, it was determined that the airplane ran out of fuel. Before leaving Florida, it only had 25 gallons loaded into the nacelle tanks, which is one of the main tanks. The pilot had wanted the wing tanks, the outer wing tanks, filled as well, but that didn't happen due to miscommunication the previous evening. The next morning before taking off, the pilot misread the fuel ticket, thinking that the 134 was the number of gallons put into the airplane, but the 134 was actually the fueler's employee number. It was estimated that when the aircraft left or departed from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, that it was 100 gallons less from being full. According to the operating pilot manual, the discrepancy should have been found during a pre-flight check that morning. You go around, you check all around the airplane, and you look at how much fuel is in the tanks visually. You know, unlike a car that has one engine, one fuel tank, one fuel gauge, this airplane has two engines, has multiple fuel tanks, has two fuel gauges that you manage and control the fuel of that plane. And it tells you how much fuel you have at any one time. There's a toggle switch that you can look at total fuel or the nacelle fuel, and that determines how much fuel you actually have. The pilots made errors along the way when they were flying, so they didn't really realize they did not have enough fuel to make it to their destination until it was too late to make it to an alternate airport. The airplane I described can fly 1,200 miles max range, but it has to stop and be refueled to continue on. You know, as we come to the end of these Feast of Tabernacles, this last day of the feast, the last message of this feast, I was thinking of what I could speak about. And what I'm giving you this story to talk about is I want to ask a question. How full is your spiritual tank? How full is your spiritual tank? We've heard wonderful messages throughout the feast to inspire us, to encourage us. But is your full Is your spiritual tank full? You know, hopefully your spiritual tank is much fuller than when you arrived. Hopefully as you continue on towards God's goal for all of us to be in His family, after we leave the feast, that we have enough fuel to make it to God's kingdom. That we have enough fuel to make it to the feast next year or to the spring holy days. But the reality is, if we're not filling our spiritual tank daily, we will run out of fuel. We will run out of fuel. Wrongly assuming that your spiritual tank is full, or assuming that you have enough to make it to the destination of God's kingdom, is an error none of us can make. So today I want to look at how zeal is a vital part in keeping our spiritual tanks full. Brethren, we all want to be a part of God's family, and it's vital that we have enough fuel to reach our destination. And be wondering, what is a spiritual tank? Well, to check your spiritual tank, you could ask yourself these questions. Have I become complacent with the operating handbook, the Bible? Am I zealous for seeking God's righteousness and His kingdom? Am I fully committed to God's truth? Is our relationship with God the Father and those that He's called, do we have a good relationship with both of those? Is it strong? You know, to reach the destination of God's kingdom and be a part of His family, it will take zeal. And the title I have for today's message is Running on Empty. Running on Empty. The definition I have for zeal today that we'll be looking at is from the American Heritage Dictionary of the English language. It's this: enthusiastic devotion to a cause, idea, or goal. Enthusiastic devotion to a cause, ideal, or goal. You know, more commonly, we talk about passion, or passionate. Has a similar meaning to zeal. In the context of zeal or passion, it represents our firm desire to accomplish a purpose, a goal that we have set in our lives. You know, God's given us the opportunity to have His Holy Spirit. When we become baptized, and we have the laying on of hands, we have God's Holy Spirit to help us. But it's up to each of us to put it into practice in our lives. It's up to each of us to stir it up each day. So without keeping our spiritual tank full, we will not make it to God's kingdom. So the first point I want to bring out is it takes zeal to serve God daily, seeking His will and righteousness. It takes zeal to serve God daily, seeking His will and righteousness. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 6, read verses 19 through 21. It's a passage that's very familiar to us. You know, Jesus Christ describes on a decision that we need to make each day in our lives. It's something that we have to be committed to. Matthew chapter 6, starting verse 19, it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on the earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where neither thieves do not break in and steal." And verse 21 says, "For wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You know, if we lay up physical treasure on this earth, it can rust, it can be stolen. And truly, at the end of this life, none of us take the physical treasures with us when we pass away in this life. You know, preparing for eternity in God's family, we need to be laying up spiritual treasure in heaven. We need to be doing that. Verse 21 concludes saying, wherever your treasure is, whether it's seeking treasure on this earth, seeking treasure in heaven, that's where your heart will be. That's where your heart will be. We need to be zealous, passionate for the things of God, not the things of this world. Just a few verses down in Matthew 6:33, probably one of the most memorized verses that we have. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." We all know this scripture, I believe. Do we apply it? Do we apply it each day in how we live and the decisions we make? You know, God's kingdom and His righteousness must be our first priority. It can't be our second priority. It can't be a part-time priority. It has to be something that we prioritize each and every day. Seeking God's will and righteousness each day in our life will help us to keep fuel in our spiritual tank. The second point I want to bring out today is our zeal for God takes commitment. It has to continue throughout our life. Our zeal for God takes commitment to continue throughout our life. If you turn to John chapter 2, read verses 13 and 17. Now, these verses describe Jesus cleaning out the temple. He physically cleaned out the temple that Herod, King Herod had built for the Jews. And picking up the story in John chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, "Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. And he made a whip of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, poured out the changers of money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, 'Take these things away. Do not make my house a house of merchandise.' Then the disciples remembered that it was written, 'Zeal for your house has eaten me up.'" Well, Jesus had the zeal to physically clean out the temple in his day. Those who were profiting from selling animals or exchanging money for the temple tax, he cleaned that all out. Those actions and words are very strong, but they have meaning for us today. You know, we, as God's people who are baptized, are God's spiritual temple for His Holy Spirit to dwell. If we're not careful, the things of this world can start being clutter in our spiritual temple. We need to be zealous, like Jesus Christ was, and clean out the clutter that may be cluttering our lives. Make sure that the physical temple that we are, with God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us, is not filled up with the things of this world. You know, many times in God's church, people start out with zeal. They're stirred up to understand God's truth. It's something new to them, something that they value, the pearl of great price. They want to share it with people. But later on, that zeal starts to fade away. You know, some who have started out with zeal aren't sitting with us today. And there's a reason why. It could be wrong priorities, but it could be they're not fully committed. They're not fully committed to the things of God. Therefore, their spiritual tank ran out of fuel. Those who are younger, you may take God's truth for granted. You may not fully appreciate it, believing that you could be part of the world and part of God's church. Young people, you need to make a choice. You need to make a choice. It's the most important decision that you'll ever make. Just like Daniel, as we heard earlier in the feast, who lived in Babylon, we live in digital Babylon. You know, most of us have smartphones. I left mine in my backpack. I didn't want to bring it up here to disturb me, but smartphones can be good, but they also have evil. They're full of distractions. They can keep us from being fully committed to God's way of life. If we spend more time with our smartphones than we do with our Bibles, we're not fully committed to God. We're just not. So this physical world, as we read earlier, has nothing of lasting value. Nothing of lasting value. I want to share a story about my father. My father grew up, had a very strong interest in airplanes. Ever since he was a little boy, he made model airplanes. He flew model airplanes. He was drafted in World War II. He joined the Air Force, but he had an eye injury that kept him from joining the Air Force. He wanted to join the Air Force, but he had an eye injury. But after the war, he was able to learn how to fly. He was flying planes when he met my mother, and he continued after they were married. And when he had an opportunity to buy a Piper Cub with his friends, he was all in. The thing about this Piper Cub that his friends and him bought, it needed many repairs. There were several co-owners. They took the plane apart. They refabricated it. They reworked it. And they did this in just a few months. I found this paperwork after my dad had passed away, and I was asking my mother about how they fixed that airplane so fast. And she said every night my dad would come home from working all day. He would eat dinner, and then usually in the evening he would go work on that airplane. He was passionate about it. Over the next few years, my father bought out all the other owners to where he actually owned the airplane. It was his. It was a dream come true for him. My father rarely attended church with my mom. Oftentimes, he would take me flying with him on Sunday mornings, which I really enjoyed at a young age. My dad had a zeal and a passion for flying. He used to say that flying an airplane was more fun than someone should have. That's how much he enjoyed it. But it was my dad who started listening to Mr. Armstrong on the radio. And we began to keep the Sabbath day. We began to go to God's church, to the Feast of Tabernacles. And about a year and a half later, my dad sold his airplane. There are different factors for that, but he made a choice to give up something that he was truly passionate about and instead became zealous for God's church and God's way of life. He still loved airplanes, but his priorities had changed, and he was fully committed to living God's way of life. And 30 years later, when he passed away, he was still talking about what a wonderful time it will be when God's kingdom comes and when God's millennium is here. You see, brethren, people are passionate and zealous when they see a purpose or goal they want more than other things in their lives. To be zealous and live God's way of life, we must be fully committed. It must be something that we want more than anything else in our lives. It's a lifelong commitment. As we read earlier in Matthew 6:21, where it said, "There, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Our loyalties cannot be divided between God's way of life and the things of this world. If they are, our zeal will run out. We will not properly serve God. To have and grow in zeal, you have to stay fully committed to God, His commandments, His teaching. If you turn to Psalms chapter 119, Psalms chapter 119, we'll read verses 97 through 105. It gives us a great insight of someone that's committed and someone who has zeal for God's way of life. And to have and maintain zeal and be fully committed, it takes action on our part. It takes action. But when we do that, it's not just something we do, it becomes who we are. It becomes who we truly are. Psalms chapter 119, starting in verse 97, I'll read this from the 1984 edition of the NIV. Verse 97 says, "Oh, how I love thy law. I meditate on it all day long." If you want to have zeal in your spiritual life, have a love for God's law and meditate on it all day long. When we don't take the time to read the Bible, when we don't take the time to study it, how much zeal do we have for God's truth? How full is our spiritual tank? You know, sooner or later, if we do not love God's law and meditate on it, our spiritual tank will run dry. It doesn't say I understand God's law. It doesn't say I like God's law. It says I love God's law. I meditate on it. If you do, you'll be studying and reading the Bible. You know, God's law should be on our minds all day long, each day. I'm a pastor now. I spent years and decades working just like many of you. And you have to apply God's laws every day in how you treat people and what you say, what you think and what you do. All of us have to do that. We have to put God's law into practice. Continuing on in verse 98, it says, "Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. And I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. You know, these verses aren't about someone who's vain about the knowledge that he has. He's just stating the fact that when you love God's law, when you meditate upon it, your wisdom and understanding will grow. You won't become complacent. You won't be forgetting or misapplying parts of it. You'll be obeying it. And continuing on in verse 101, it says, I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. You know, a love for God's commandments and teaching will keep us on the right path. We won't be compromising with God's truth, his laws. We won't be departing from its ways. We'll be careful not to get caught up in the things of this world. We'll hang on to the simple truths that we each understand. And we'll be applying them. The simple truths that Jesus Christ taught his disciples. You know, we're told in the Bible that deceit will become worse and worse before Jesus Christ returns. Brethren, we need to be having a love for God's commandments. We need to meditate upon them, that nothing will shake us from God's truth. Continuing on in verse 103, it says, how sweet are thy words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I've gained understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word should be sweeter than honey to us. They should light our path that we need to go down. We need to follow the instructions that we all know, that we've all been given. To have zeal for God takes time to read his Bible. It takes time to study. And when we do, we will continue to grow in wisdom, grow in keeping them, grow in applying them, and we will see the results in our life and how we live. We need to be fully committed to God's truth and his laws throughout our lives. And when we do, we'll be putting more spiritual fuel in our tanks each day. The third point I want to bring out today is to have a zeal for God must include a growing relationship with him. A zeal for God must include a growing relationship with him. Our relationship with God the Father is the most important relationship in our lives. The stronger our relationship is with God, the more we will love him, the more we will love his way of life. As I said earlier, it will become who we are. We must be devoted to him in our minds and our hearts. We must continue to seek him, his righteousness, not just part of the time, not just when we're going through a trial, but all the time. God provides us everything we need to have a relationship with him. We have Jesus Christ sacrificed. We can be at one with God the Father. We can go to him and pray and ask for his help. But it's up to us to do that. You don't need to turn there, but in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, Jeremiah wrote to those that Nebuchadnezzar had taken captive and wrote this, And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Do we seek God with all of our hearts? You know, we live in a world that wants to hold us captive, just like they were captive back then. We need to break free of this world and its ways and continue to seek a relationship with God. Praying to him, talking to him, not just talking about the physical things that go on in our lives, but the spiritual things that we need help with. And one of the things I've learned as a pastor, it's not the easiest job in the world, and I found that when I go to God and give him my problems, that he will help me. He will help me through whatever situations I might find myself in. I find that I have more peace, and I find that I'm strengthened spiritually. Brethren, I would ask all of you to take your problems to God, no matter how big, no matter how small, and give them to Him. Let Him sort them out for you. You don't have to give Him the answers. Sometimes we want to give God the answers, but He doesn't need the answers. He knows what's best for us as He's preparing us to be a part of His family. As I said, that's the most important relationship that we have. We need to make sure that we go to Him in prayer and seek to build that relationship. And when we do, our love for Him will grow, our faith for Him will grow, and we'll have enough zeal to continue on this way of life. The fourth and final point that I'm going to bring out this morning is to have zeal to serve those in God's church. Have zeal to serve those in God's church. I've had a wonderful Feast of Tabernacles, talking with many of you, getting to know some of you that I met for the first time. As we go back to our local church areas, we'll go back to our spiritual families. Are we willing to serve and be with our spiritual families? If you turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 and 25 through 25. You know, earlier in this chapter, Jesus talks about Jesus Christ giving up His life for all of us and becoming our perfect high priest. Starting in verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 10, it says, Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who has promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. You know, in verse 23 it says, nothing should keep us from doing these things. We have Jesus Christ, our high priest. It says, let us hold on to the promises they've given to us. Verse 24 talks about stirring up love, godly love for one another, for good works. Verse 25 says, don't stop assembling. Stop getting together, not just during church, but other times as well. You know, sometimes there's illnesses or different circumstances that we're not able to go to church. But how can we keep each other stirred up, those that God's working with, if we don't make it to church on a regular basis? If we don't take the time to communicate with those God's working with, just like us? You know, when we're not at church, it's hard to be encouraged or encourage others, for us to be a warm and welcoming church for those God may be working with. We need to be useful servants to Him and be warm congregations when those people come in. And we don't go to church just because God commands us. While that is true, we should want to go to church to see our spiritual family. Hopefully we're growing in love for one another. You know, some of us don't have physical family in the church, but we have a spiritual family. It's full of brothers and sisters. My mom has passed away. I have other mothers that mother me sometimes. We have that opportunity when we go to church and be with our spiritual family and grow in love with them. You know, life is not about things. Life is about relationships. And our relationship with God our Father and our relationship with our brothers and sisters are important. They're important to help us to grow, and they're important to help them to grow as well. They keep our zeal stirred up, and we can be stirred up as well from the things they're going through in their life. You know, Jesus told us in John chapter 13:35, it says, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You know, these relationships serving one another add fuel to our spiritual fuel tank. Praying, encouraging others, helping others, helps us as well. Assembling together, as says here in Hebrews, especially as we see the day approaching. As I conclude this message, without zeal or passion, we won't be able to serve God, seeking His will and righteousness in our lives. We won't be able to set the right priorities each day to commit ourselves to Him. We won't be able to sustain the zeal that we need to finish the race that we've started. It'll take a close relationship with God through prayer. It'll take a close relationship with those of us sitting here today, those in our local congregations. The story that I gave you earlier about the pilots, due to complacency, incorrect assumptions, not following the aircraft operating procedures, a brand new airplane was lost, and they were fortunate really to survive. They thought they had enough fuel. They really did, until it was too late. For us, the stakes are much higher. Jesus reminds us in the parable of the wise and foolish virgins that some had lamps. Well, they all had lamps, but some had oil that ran out. And Jesus stated at the end of that parable, "I do not know you." Can you imagine that being said to you? None of us want to hear those words. Every day we need to put these points into practice. And when we do, our zeal will grow. And our spiritual tank will continue to have the spiritual fuel that we need to make it to the end of this life or when Jesus Christ returns. The sermon today that I gave is basically a back-to-basics sermon. I didn't tell you anything that you didn't already know. I didn't tell you something that was new. Brethren, I hope you will take it to heart and apply it each day. For those who are younger and not baptized, you're living in a world under Satan's influence. As I said earlier, you have a decision to make. This world wants you to think that it's more important than God's way of life. My father came into the church when I was 7 years old. I had to make a decision later on that it wasn't just my parents' church, it was my church. I had to make a decision to be baptized. My father coming into this church, God's church, me becoming baptized, changed my whole life. Those who are unbaptized, those who are younger, it can change your life as well. I never gave up on God. I made mistakes along the way. We all make mistakes. But God will keep His promises. He will never give up on us. If you find yourself going the wrong way, turn around. God will be there. When you seek Him, repent, ask for His forgiveness, He will help you. I pray that you will make a decision and commit your lives to following God's way of life and His commandments, that your zeal and passion, it will grow for God's way of life if you put it to practice in your life. For those who have been in the church years, decades, we need to be watching and praying about our spiritual condition. That's what we truly need to be watching. The events these past 3 years should have us spiritually awake. Brethren, if you're not excited about Jesus Christ's return and God's millennium coming, when will you be excited? When will that take place? It's sad in this nation. It's sad in this world to see them destroying themselves and totally abandoning God's way of life. But I know for me, and I know for many others I talk to, the excitement for God's return or Jesus Christ's return and God's kingdom coming is growing. Difficult times lie ahead. But brethren, we know God will see us through them. He will. He won't abandon us. The fulfillment of these holy Fall holy days is coming, maybe coming sooner than we think. If you turn to one final scripture over in Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, we'll read verses 12 through 14. We're going to look at someone's life that has zeal for God's way of life. The Apostle Paul did. His zeal never waned. He continued his whole life after conversion to serving God's church. Philippians chapter 3, we'll start in verse 12. It says, not that I have already attained this, that is, I have not been perfected or completed, but I strive to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold on of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to attain this. Instead, I am single-minded, forgetting the things that are behind, reaching out for the things that are ahead. With this goal in mind, I strive towards the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. Brethren, let's be zealous for the things of God. Let's keep our spiritual tank replenished each day, allowing God's Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us into His family and His kingdom.